Hey everyone, my name is Chris Duncan and I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and we are so glad that you chose to hang out with us today here online. You know, it's one of those things that you just heard from our friend Randy Lynn, that we want to be with you in person. We would love to be with you live at one of our locations, and because of the things that are happening these days, we're not able to do that. And so if there's any way that we can connect with you, then please feel free to drop us an email at info@ecrossroads.org, info@ecrossroads.org, and help us to be able to help you. We want to be with you. We want to connect with you in whatever way we can in this season. Another way, and you heard Randy Lynn say this, but I want to reiterate it, is that if you have not downloaded our Crossroads app, we encourage you to do that. You can do that in the App Store or the Play Store, depending on which device you're on, whether you're on an Apple device or an Android device. And we would just encourage you to go to Crossroads Kokomo, and you'll see our logo there, and we just ask you to download that. You can watch us live. You watch these services live there. But the biggest reason that I would love for you to do that is that we have a virtual bulletin for you, and there are resources in that bulletin for your kids. If you've got a preschool or an elementary kid and you're wondering, what is it that I need to be doing with my kids in this season, we've put resources that you can go to in that virtual bulletin to have those. There are growth resources, discipleship resources that you can see on the app. All of our old sermons are on the app, and we've got a bunch of other things that are there. And so we just encourage you to join us on the app. It'd be a great thing for you to come and be a part of. You know, I know that for so many of us, this coronavirus pandemic is resulting for us in a lot of chaos, fear. Maybe for you, it's economic fallout. Maybe it's left you trapped in a colossal nightmare. And these unprecedented events and the rapid rate at which they're happening have developed in such a way that leave us feeling uncertain and vulnerable. Whether we're afraid of getting sick, or we're afraid of making someone else sick, or losing our business, or losing our retirement money, or losing our mind while stuck inside, or least, if not least, losing our last sheet of toilet paper, the coronavirus has undoubtedly started to threaten, or at least seems to threaten, life as we know it. And while scientists race to create a vaccine, we're told that no such vaccine will probably be available for at least a year, by which time it seems that the entire world population, including Chuck Norris, could eventually be affected. And so this unfortunate lag time reflects a sobering reality that we live in a broken world. And if you're like me, the thing about it is that I have learned so many new vocabulary words in the last 2 weeks. For instance, 3 weeks ago, I never used the word coronavirus, COVID-19, or novel coronavirus. Words like outbreak, epidemic, and pandemic are words that never really crossed my mind very often. Quarantine, self-quarantine, isolation were words that while I heard them and maybe used them occasionally, it wasn't a word that stuck with me very often. Symptom, symptomatic, asymptomatic, incubation, community spread, communicable, contagion. These are words that, quite honestly, you and I didn't use very often. And now we find ourselves in reading news articles, following Facebook posts, listening to government officials use these words. And for you and I, we have created a whole new vocabulary, but none has been newer to us and transformed us more than the word social distancing. These two words, social distancing. You know, it seems like that everywhere we go, we talk about it. We seem to be noticing all about it. It's a word that's used to describe how we create space between us and another person. It mostly is related to physical distance, but we also know that it can be referred to as social distance as well. And some of us even take this thing so far. Let me show you a picture of what this guy did. He actually took a cardboard cutout of the side of a refrigerator and made it 6 feet around, and everywhere he went when he was out in public, made sure that no one would get within 6 feet of his cardboard cutout. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that he socially distanced himself from every other person. You know, it's interesting that even today, the word social distancing is requiring you and I to spend time together on the internet instead of us spending time together in person. It's requiring even times where you may have been a person who was a hugger, a handshaker, to now all of a sudden reassess those touching environments. And what it does is it puts us at times on edge, doesn't it? This past week, I happened to be at a local store, and much like every one of you, people were buying everything they could imagine. I even went to the store to buy some tortillas, and apparently somebody in town loves tortillas, and they bought every tortilla in all of Kokomo, Indiana. But the thing about it is that for us, everywhere that I went, when I walked up and down aisles, when I went in different places, there was a different look on the faces of the Hoosiers that I saw around us. Now, usually we're the kind of people as Hoosiers that love to look at our neighbor and look, see them as we're passing them to see, do we know them? Do I say hi? Do I at least smile? Do I acknowledge them? And instead, I would walk into these stores and recognize that for so many of us, we wouldn't even pause. We just wanted to get in, get our stuff, and get out. And for some of us, we do that with face masks, we do that with wearing rubber gloves, and we do that in whatever style that we can, but what we're recognizing is the term social distancing is becoming more of a reality inside of us. And because of it, it is making this COVID-19 crisis become even more unbearable. For some of us, we're asking questions like I did this week with a mom who was saying, I'm struggling at night to even give my kids hugs and kisses. So how do we deal with all this? It seems like there's just more bad news left and right. And for some of us on social media, on places like platforms like Facebook, we say, hey, take your 9th picture and post it so that I can see something other than coronavirus. But it doesn't really soothe the things that are in us. And this is why today I really want to focus on one verse, and that verse is found in the book of Mark, the first chapter, the very first verse, because Mark has something to say to us that I think is going to be helpful to us today in this moment and in this place about Jesus. And we've been in this series talking specifically about who Jesus is, and today I want to say Jesus is good news, and that good news is good for you. Listen to what it says. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. For you to know that this idea of good news, and if you're reading a different translation, you'll notice that the word good news in other translations, they actually translate it as gospel, as gospel. The Greek word that's used to describe this is euangelion. And that word simply means this idea of euon means good, gelion means messenger. And it's an understanding of what it means to have a good messenger. And when we begin to hear the good news about Jesus as being the Messiah and the Son of God, then I want to share with you a couple of ideas or thoughts about this. Because if you're willing to live out the good news, and that was really the idea of the gospel, or the good news was for people to live this out, for it to be a part of their life, and not just a part of their life, but their entire existence. So I'm going to give you a couple of ideas just in the next few moments that we have together to kind of understand this whole idea of what does it mean to live out the good news of Jesus. And so the first thing that I want to make is a point simply saying this, that living the good news means that you're living boldly. In this world, it seems that these days, bold living seems far from who we are and where we are and what we're doing. The good news about Jesus the Messiah in Mark chapter 1:1, the fact that he would use the word Messiah was such an interesting phrase, because Messiah could ultimately be translated as the anointed one. And the anointed one was very simply a regards to the Old Testament Jewish way of life as who the king was. So Mark was basically saying to every Jew, this Jesus Christ is the good news because he is your king. Now that meant nothing to the people who were Greeks and Romans, because for them, the Jewish monarchy was a laughter for the folks of Judea and for the Jewish folks, because they were under direct rule of emperor, and the emperor was the one who had the almighty power. As a matter of fact, the emperor was the one who would have been called the God or the Son of God. And why Mark brings out this gospel and how he begins to write his things together, I love the fact that in Mark 1:1, he uses the phrase, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, that was a pretty bold statement, because the very writing of that word, and that word being the very first words that Mark would use to write his words about Jesus, meant this understanding of treason in ways that most of us couldn't possibly understand. You know why? Because the word gospel or good news was actually really a term that, even though today we may say evangelion sounds like evangelism, and it really is, the concept of the day of what gospel meant is it was more of a political term. You see, couriers would bring good news, usually from the emperor, occasionally from a general, but from the emperor, it would be these ideas of grand messages. They would say, the emperor got married. And so these individuals that would bring the gospel or the good news were these couriers that would go from town to town, and they would put these either in parchments or they would put them on stone, and they would place them in different ways. And what they would do is they would walk through and say, I've got the best announcement ever, and I'm here to tell you the good news, the evangelion, the gospel. And they would talk about marriages and births. They would talk about lands that they conquered. Their content was put on parchments or stones or even pillars so that people would celebrate the ruler and rally around the ruler of its day. And the idea was that the emperor, the person who was in charge, the Caesar, though that individual who was running all of Rome, had the opportunity to tell everyone through messengers these incredible messages. Matter of fact, there's history, there's evidence of this. Just before the birth of Christ, this inscription was found on a stone in western Turkey that uses the very term gospel that I'm referring to today to Augustus Caesar. It's called the Priene Calendar. Basically, Augustus Caesar said, hey, you know what? Since I am the Son of God, since I'm the most holy, since I am the best thing to come along since sliced bread, then we should rearrange the entire calendar around me. Today, you can go to Berlin, Germany, and you can see this stone that was found in western Turkey in a place called Priene, and you can see this stone, and in it, these are the words that are translated that you can notice on the stone. It says this, it seemed good to the Greeks of Asia, in the opinion of the high priest Apollonius of Menophilus, Azantus, since Providence, which has ordered all things and is deeply interested in our life, he continues on, has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she filled with virtue that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a savior both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war and arrange all things. And since he, Caesar, by his appearance, excelled even in our anticipations, meaning that guy's even better looking than we could imagine. Surpassing all previous benefactors, he's even better than the previous guys, and not even having to posterity any hope of surpassing what he has done since the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of the good tidings for the world that came by reason of him, which Asia resolved in Smyrna. Basically, what this said is that he came along and Caesar Augustus said, the beginning of your calendar will start at the birth of Caesar Augustus. You know why? Because he's a god. And people ran across the countryside talking about this. And Mark, to know a little bit about Mark, he wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he was, from what we understand, an incredible leader in the early church. Mark was a guy that took off with Paul and Barnabas on the very first missionary journey. And the problem that happened was Mark didn't finish that journey. Paul even got so frustrated with him that Paul separated from Barnabas in his second missionary journey over who this guy John Mark was. By the end of Paul's ministry, we hear Paul write things about Mark, even to the point that he would write to some of the churches, "You welcome Mark in like a brother." From what we understand, Mark came from a home of a very wealthy single mom. And she was very integral with Peter, and that Mark was a guy that spent a lot of his time with Peter and was sort of Peter's protege. And many believe that the book of Mark was sort of Peter's gospel, that it was an account of Peter. And what Mark was trying to do as he was writing out these things, as he was putting them in, as he was boldly proclaiming to the world that he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He was above the emperor. You have to understand, it's a pretty bold statement for a guy to make in a world where everyone else would have thought it was different. But even Paul adopted this idea. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul would write these words, "I'm not ashamed of this good news. I'm not ashamed of all about it. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." This good news of Jesus Christ is specifically for you and for me. He would conclude by saying, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." This is why I want to conclude this idea of the good news of Jesus by saying, secondly, these words, that living the good news means living Jesus. Gang, I want you to know how important this is in today's world. I want you to know how incredible this idea is in living Jesus. Because you know how uncertain these times are. You know that as our government continues to prop up the stock market, and as the stock market continues to fade, and how there are the uncertainties of whether or not we'll go to work tomorrow, or whether we're going to have a job to go back to in a month or 2 months. The uncertainty of being at home where maybe you used to wait tables at a local restaurant. The uncertainty of being at home when you thought that this week was going to be the last week before spring break. The uncertainty that you thought you would be in warm and sunny climates in Florida, and instead your family's holed up at home during the course of the season, and you're asking yourself these questions. Man, this world seems upside down. I want you to know that the good news, living the good news, means living Jesus. And in today's society, every one of you listening to my words, if you are a believer in Christ, then I want to give you hope to live as Jesus lived. Can I just take a moment and tell you what Jesus did? Can I just say, hey, there's some things in Scripture that maybe you forgot about that Jesus did that gives us hope for the good news, that gives us hope to live as Jesus lived. We know, according to scriptures, that he healed a blind man in Bethsaida. He healed another blind man in Jericho. He cured a leper. He healed a paralytic. He cured a woman from a bleeding problem. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed an infirm woman. He even healed a man with edema. He healed a man with a withered hand. He helped a deaf man hear again. He even put an ear back on a guy who came to arrest him. He exorcised demons and changed the life of some who were unbearable to society. He raised a young man from Nain to life after death. He raised the daughter of Jairus, a major patron of a church. He raised his friend Lazarus. He saved a wedding from running out of wine and made better wine than age could possibly make it. He brought more fish than any had ever seen before for his disciples. He fed 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another occasion. And on one occasion, what we know is that only a kid had some fish and some loaves, and he multiplied it in a way. He walked on water. He calmed a storm. He stood on a tree, and he forgave those who ultimately were trying to kill him. Even after his death, he gave a visual to Thomas, who doubted him, with a sense of grace and gentleness. He gave new life to a man named Saul, who persecuted him and his followers. He allowed freedom for some guys named Peter and John, and he gave freedom to some guys named Paul and Silas. My question is, do you know what Jesus did? See, it's good news for you. Because if you know what Jesus did, then I want to just say this as we conclude our time together. Then go and live the good news today with your friends and family. Dang, there's enough stuff for you to be worried about. There's enough things for you to struggle with. There's enough things that are going on inside of your world that's making your world currently chaotic. But for you to know that you serve a Savior who is the centerpiece of the good news, that He is the Lord of your life and wants to be the Lord of your life, that He is the God that was always prophesied about, that He is the answer to the prayers that you didn't even know you had. You know, the thing about COVID-19 is that for many of us, we're asking questions of our mortality. And the great news of Jesus Christ is the fact that He died on a cross, but He didn't stay there. That while He died for your sins and He died for my sins, He ultimately rose from the dead to prove to us that He could conquer death. My prayer for you is that you will say yes to Him. It's very simple. You just pause and ask Him into your heart. And then you come to the realization that Paul came to in Acts chapter 20 when he would write these words: "My life is worth nothing to me unless I finish it, use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus." And what's that work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So for those of you today who are Christians, make this verse your motto this week. To tell everyone you know about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the saving grace that He has. And for those of you that just joined in because you were flipping through a Facebook feed and you thought, man, that's different, then maybe today's the day that you say yes to Him. Because He's willing to say yes to you in these very, very uncertain times. Folks, I got some good news. And that good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you were willing to come to this earth, that you were willing to heal even a person with leprosy. God, in our society today, if we know of somebody that has COVID-19, we say quarantine them. Nobody wants to be around them. Nobody wants to get close to them. Nobody wants to be near them. And in first century, that idea was leprosy. And Jesus, you were willing to even touch the leper to heal them. And so God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that in this midst of chaos, of craziness, in this midst of the things that we thought we were in control of, maybe our finances, the health of our family, and now we realize that we're not in control of any of those things. But God, you are. You take care of us. And Jesus, that is the gospel, the good news. So today we welcome anyone who's listening and for the first time said yes to you. And Jesus, for those of us who've said yes to you in our past, we say yes again, and we promise to say yes to people all around us to bring this good news to a world that's filled with chaos. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.